Blog Talk Radio.
Extremeness is here. XOHL, a view from the blue line. Sponsored in part by the Extreme Online Hockey League.com. Special co-host weekly. Call-in show. Come hear the hits, the stats, the rumors, and the hot topics. Come be a blue liner. Let's be extreme. Sit in, join us. Let's get this done. That's right, folks. Your host, Lacar22, here live to you, View from the Blue Line, our weekly episode, season 4, episode 2, 3 of the season. Tonight's theme is going deep, and teams are starting to dig in, build their chemistry, and we're going to talk about it. We got lots of things for you on the show. Of course, my two co-hosts will be joining us shortly. We've got, we're going to review some stats, we're going to review some, you know, how the teams are looking, trades. We'll talk about all that's happened in the past week two of the XOHL, and we're going to look into what to look forward for next week. So sit down and then join us, and hopefully it'll be a good show. We'll open up the phone lines for any discussion topic you guys like to talk about at the end of the show. But with no further ado, here is one of my co-hosts. You know him as...
I like cheese.
Taco Sunday.
I like cheese.
How you doing, Taco?
Good. How's this mic sound?
Hey, man, it sounds pretty good. Your voice actually sounds not like a teenage boy.
Oh, thanks. Thanks, man.
Man, Taco Sunday. The cheese is the cheese. Says what he wants, when he wants, however he wants. He don't give a fuck.
Yep, right, Taco? I get suspended for it.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, there is breaking news this week. The XOHL. Taco Sunday has not been suspended for this week, which is kind of weird. But, yeah, Taco, you are have to be the most traded man in the XOHL history.
I thought I was tied with Mav. How many does Maverick have?
Maverick's got a few, but you seem to be bouncing back between two teams.
Yeah, I keep asking for trades.
For example, you know, Boston, New Jersey, I mean, I don't know if it's like some kind of divorce thing between Luch and, you know, Jersey was there before. We'll talk about that later. Between New Jersey and Boston, where you're like that that kid between the two divorced parents. That, weekends you hang out with New Jersey, and during the week you're with Boston. So it's, I kind of feel, I don't know if I feel bad for you or I don't really know. I don't really know what's going on between those teams. So I don't know. Have you asked for a trade for this week?
From Winnipeg?
You're on Winnipeg now?
Yeah, I'm on Winnipeg now.
Holy frig. You're on Winnipeg now. So are you making your debut with the Winnipeg Jets tonight?
Yeah, I am. And
there you go. What's that?
It's actually at forward.
So we'll talk about you a little bit till our other host comes on, but Caster and Pollock, Caster the Hammer Pollock, and we'll talk a little bit. So last week, did you step back? Did you play any D games, and how did you make out?
Yeah, I actually played some D games, and when Stoutman got called to take the ownership, he was like, oh, yeah, I really actually want you to stay, but I don't like dealing with that little baby childish crap, so I asked for a trade anyway. I was okay with Jers doing it because I could keep Stoutman on mute so he wouldn't have to hear me and get butt hurt. But after that, Jers gone, and then I was like, nah, I ain't gonna deal with it.
So, but you never answered my question.
Oh, what was the question? I wasn't really paying attention.
Well, the question was, you know, we kind of made fun of you stepping back and playing D last week, and I'm just wondering how your success was at the blue line.
Give me one second. I just got to make sure I'm in the right with saying this. You're a minus two. I'm a plus one. So, I mean, that basically sums it up.
Not really, because I'm on a winning team.
But that doesn't mean anything if I'm on a losing team and I'm still plus.
Yeah, but how many D games do you play?
Four?
And were you plus for the week?
Yeah.
Let me have a look at this. I don't believe you.
I played four games. No, one was at forward. I played three D games.
Ah! So there it is. I don't play any at forward.
The forward game only was a plus one. Doesn't count.
Yeah, but how many goals did you score?
I scored zero goals.
Oh, really? Okay. So there you have it. Taco Sunday. He's stepping back up to forward. He's heading back over to, obviously, to the, he's heading not back over to the, but over to the Winnipeg Jets. See how Iceman can deal with your, how can we call it? Your, I don't give a fuck kind of attitude? Is that what we would say?
Yeah, I can say that. We can call it that.
So, I don't give a fuck attitude. Well, Taco, I don't give a fuck Sunday. So, we'll talk a little bit about, we'll go down through the stats. I'm waiting for, I wonder if Caster had a nap again.
No, he's sitting in the chat box, so he has to be on. He just sent a message like at 27.
Well, before we begin the show, there he is. He's there now. So we'll bring Caster on. I don't know. I don't used to have a theme song for him, but I can't seem to find it. But I was gonna see if I could bust it out, but
just play "Still Alive" by GLaDOS. That'd be a good one.
Caster and Pollock on the air. Welcome, Caster the Hammer Pollock. What's going on? Not to be confused with one of your body appendages. What's going on?
What is up? Not much.
We got to
call
in.
We got to call in, see what's going on.
The appendages, when I call him Caster the Hammer, it refers nothing to do with his penis size, by the way. I mean, it has to do with him bringing the hammer down, and the hammer was brought down this week, and we'll talk a little bit about that later. But in the meantime, I think it's probably fitting that we let's see if we can possibly round up how the teams did this week. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to round things up for you this week on the team. And with me and my co-host, we're going to tell you what we thought, how the teams did. And I always like to start from the bottom and work my way up. Because, you know, the conversation gets smaller as you move up the standings. As we all know, Toronto Maple Leafs had some big changes last week. They went 5-9. They're 5-9 right now in total. And it looks like they're under new management. And we'll start things off with you, Taco. How do you think these teams are going to look? Now this team is going to look. They had a struggling week last week, but they've got a new team. What do you think?
You know what? I hate to say it. They're still going to struggle. They don't have any defense. I mean, they got a Shep, but that really looks like their only strong defenseman out there. But I still think they're going to struggle at least until they can get another defenseman or two.
So they picked up a few people. Well, they were quite busy in free agency. Big pickup for them. Highest paid player in the league now, the Ploop. That's going to be a big addition. A lot of discussion about whether he is overpaid. Maybe paid a little bit more than that he should have been. But you got to remember, Ploop's a good player, and he actually shows up to his games. So you know when these guys is a good player and doesn't show up to his games, he'll actually play five games a week for you. He'll be a big addition to that team. And hopefully he can help turn things around. It'll be interesting to see how they're going to work out the center situation, because what I'm looking at right now, they've got four centermen.
Yep, four.
So that's going to be interesting. Who's going to play where? Are you going to keep Smitty at the top line center, or are you going to have you're going to put Ploop up there? That's the question. Smitty's the leading scorer on the team right now, and he is hot. He's got in five games, he's 5 goals, 9 assists, 14 points. So he's playing really well for them. So it's hard to say. Maybe he's just going to touch things out and see how the Ploop, where he'll fit in with the lines. And really it's going to be a matter of finding the right wingers with them. Shepard, he's back from IR. That's another big plus for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yep.
He's off the IR now. That's one of their top D-men. Can't really say. Maybe pair him up with Andrew Raffey. They picked up, I believe, old captain, random assignment, or was it free agency, Castor? I can't remember.
I think it was
waivers.
I think they've had
waivers.
They pick him off
of
waivers.
I thought they had him.
I think Nashville. I think, if I'm correct.
Yeah.
Huh.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. A couple of assignments to the team. Now, just a shout out here. I want to just give my condolence or whatever it is. But I was reading on the LG forums today that if you don't know him, are you Joey or Nah? Is also known as Red Wing Freak. But apparently he's had some medical issues. And no, it's not him. You know, he always comes up with some excuse for medical condition, but apparently he collapsed and has currently been admitted to the hospital. So if you don't know that, give him a shout-out, send him a message. I guess he's not doing very well. And that was actually posted on the LG forums. I know sometimes Red Wing Freak can be annoying as fuck, but he's been around for a while. Everybody, you know, love him or hate him, he's still a decent kid. And we hope the best for him, and hopefully that he comes out of what's going on. So that's all I know. I haven't read the LG forums as of late, but... this is a true excuse, because I know he's used some excuses in the past, but I know he has some trouble with his heart. So hopefully this kid will bounce back from that. So give him a shout out to you, Red Wing Freak. I don't know if you're listening or not, but he was a big part of helping that team prevent forfeits last week. Wouldn't you guys agree?
Yeah. Does he have any games played? What?
Yeah, he showed up. He played 2 games last week. I don't know if he didn't step in between the pipes, but I know there was a couple games they were really questioning whether they
were skaters.
It's just a matter of getting him in a couple of games. He was able to prevent them to have a couple forfeits. Only one forfeit on the week last week, and one forfeit on the season. It was Toronto, but I would say Poison Killer did a hell of a job last week trying to play with what he had. Wouldn't you guys agree?
Oh, yeah. I agree. No forfeits. And, so, you know what I mean? Except for the one that, you know what I mean, before he took it over, because the night when Connor decided to quit, that was the only forfeit. You know what I mean? So there was already, management was already gone, and there was no one to put it together, so... I think Poison finished out the last day or so. You know, he got lineups out there, and because I think he had had to play, get 4 games played, 4 lineups, and I think he got them all up.
He did. I don't think he did. I don't think anybody went over games played either, did they?
No, I don't think so. Okay.
He was worried that he might put people over the
because most of the guys that used came up from the bench, so.
Yep, so there is a good instance that the random assignment thing actually worked in the favor of preventing that team from having any forfeits. So good job to Poison. I think he'll make a great owner on that team. As I'll quote his words in the chat box, it's not his first time to the rodeo. He's done this before. Poison Killer, as you know, has been BOD over in the EHL. Actually, in that situation, he was there to clean up some messes there as well. That was back in the Aussie Nig days that Aussie was removed from the league, and Poison Killer stepped in and kept things running to finish off the season. So the guy knows how to work under adversity, so good luck to you guys. Let's give what do you think, who's going to shine this week for this team?
I think Ploop's going to come in big for him, but their forward crew is a little rough. It's going to be a matter of do they separate a lot of the talent or get some of those centers to play wingers and kind of get one productive line and at least try to win 4 to 5 of those. So their defense is still a little rough, and, you know, with their defense being a little rough, Green Arrow, a.k.a. No Name, kind of got lit up last week. So.
Yeah, well, and that was without Shepard, though. You have to keep that in mind, too. And Shepard is, you know, a stellar D-man, but he can't do it all on his own. He's got to have his partners right beside him. So, unfortunately, you can't play Shepard 8 games a week. So, you can only play, and I don't even know if he'd be able to give you 5 games a week, depending on his LG availability.
So,
but we'll see.
Except for the back half, that was kind of weak.
So, moving up the line, Dallas Stars, Rainbow Treasure. You know, I've talked to this time and time again. He seems to think that we think he's the worst owner in the league. I don't think that's the case. I think he's got a difficult roster to work with to win games. Not big changes for them. I'm not sure what their record was last week, but right now they're sitting at 6-10. They've got no overtime losses, and they're sitting right there tied in the bottom of the Toronto Maple Leafs with 12 points. And as you guys know, our playoff format works. Those last two teams will not make a seed in the playoffs, so they've got some work to do. Of course, it's still early on, and we're only 3 weeks into the season, and you know, there's not a big gap there between that and the last playoff spot. So, what do you think, Castor? What's going on over here?
You know, I mean, they shuffled in a couple names here and there again. I think they called up Blue Nose. I think they called Airsoft. They had T. Briggs get removed. That goaltending's still, you know, getting a little rough. Snoopy had a below 70% save percentage, almost 5 goals against. That's not going to necessarily cut it. Their defense, like I said, is pretty weak. I don't think BX has really lived up to what they've said. Nisk has kind of been struggling. They need to find an identity on that back half if they're expected to win games, because they have some forwards that are not doing too bad offensively. You know, you got Perez sick, Twisted's not doing too bad. But if you can't defend and you're giving up 5 or 6 goals a game, then you're not going to win a lot of those games. What's that?
Did you say Twist? Oh, you know, Pred's sick, and, you know, Twist is not doing too bad. Twist is their leading scorer.
I'm looking at their stats right now, and it looks like they're actually everybody in that team is in the minus. You know, nobody
he's in the minus, and like I said, he's played he's not even averaging 3 points a game. You know what I mean? Like, that's almost my average, and I'm not even a forward. But
you got their all-star there, you know, the man, the $2.5 million man, fucking Jackson Pryor, with 6 points
in
6 games.
But he's only getting, like, 6 games. You know what I mean? Like, their forwards in general, you know what I mean, are going to have to really start stepping up their defense, is not what I'm implying. You know, because if, like I said, if they're giving up 5 to 6 goals a game, they need to score a lot more than that to win a lot of games.
Well, looking at, I know Voracek was a big name that came out last week. I think he was picked up in free agency last week. People were talking about him. He played 3 games last week, only put up 8 points. Is this going to be a factor that's going to... Now, I know, Castor, I know you're quite good friends with Preds Hockey and Jackson Pryde. Are they happy over there? Do they feel things are moving
around
smoothly?
They are most certainly not. They are most certainly not. And I know, you know, it's one of those kind of things. They'll stay where they are if they're not going to get moved. But I know there's some other names on that roster are not going to want to be there much longer if it continues that way. Like a Voracek. Voracek is not going to want to be there if it continues the way it is. He's a minus 13 in 3 games. That is awful. So he's used to a lot more high-powered offenses and a lot better teams. So
it's surprising you were
Jackson
saying they were... Go ahead.
I feel like, listening to Jackson Pryde and Preds, I feel like they don't even put them together. I think they probably should start trying to do that. The whole purpose of getting those two guys was to play them together, and they're actually really good together. So that would be interesting.
Well, Jackson Pryde has a habit of pulping in your crease, so you want to put them on the right spot. Now, we talked about their defense and how they were struggling, and I mean, I'm looking at their undressed bench. They've got 2 defensemen undressed right now. And, you know, to me, you know, if Bieska or Nisk are not playing their ability, why not give it, like, Skate has not played a game yet. He's not a horrible defenseman. He's a pretty decent defenseman when you need him to be. I really think that, you know, maybe they need to call, give this defenseman another try and, you know, see. Give him his first try and see if he can help this team out. Because I'll tell
you what,
Rainbow, you know, I played against Snoop in a couple games. He's got the potential to be a fairly solid goalie, but if he's got no defense in front of him, there's nothing he's going to do.
Oh, I agree. As far as Skate's concerned, I think they haven't really given him a chance, because I know Seabass was good friends with him or whatever, and I heard that Skate wasn't necessarily, not so dependable, but he wasn't, you know, I mean, his availability wasn't so great. And I know why Zebra King sent down. He's just been god awful. He played two games and was like a minus 11 this week or some shit.
Right now in five games.
Yeah, it's
what he
said
right now.
But he's only been in Dallas for a couple games. He played two last week. So he spent some of those in Boston, I think he was previously in. And so his numbers weren't that bad. So I think they just gave up on him.
Well, moving up the line, we've got the Winnipeg Jets. Looks like Iceman has been making a lot of moves over there. I know Disco was away last week, and he couldn't play any games. I mean, he's still sitting with that pretty solid record as a goaltender, so hopefully he'll get in some games this week. He's now off the IR, and hopefully he'll get in some games tonight because Iceman just hasn't been cutting it in net. He's gone 4-4. Disco wasn't getting them a lot of wins, but he was making saves when he needed to. And like you said, he's had one of the best goalie save percentage in the Sixers League that I've seen in a long time. And, hopefully he can continue that on for them this week. So, Taco, this is your team, new team. How do you feel by looking at this lineup? What are you thinking?
I see a lot of fucking people on this team with not a lot of points for how many games they've played.
Yeah, Lito's leading the pack with 25 points. Resnick there just below him. And I just want to send to you guys out there, if you check the media center under the articles, Race Robin every week does XOHL by the numbers, and he breaks down the power, the numbers pretty good. And if you get an opportunity to check that out, do that. And,
We'll see how long I last in Winnipeg with two games a week at forward.
Two games a week at forward? That's all they're going to play you?
Yeah, I only got two games this week.
And they've got you listed as a defenseman. Are you playing defense or are you actually playing forward?
No, I signed up for forward. It got changed to defense because I played defense with Boston and they changed it.
So they're going to try to
put everyone's
forward.
Just been selling you as defense ever since you played in Boston. Like they sold you to New Jersey as defense, and then I think we sold you to Winnipeg as defense.
Yeah. I really don't want to play defense. I really don't. I mean, it's not like I'm bad at it. I mean, Cass, you saw me play a game there. It's not like I'm bad at it. I just don't want to.
Yeah, it's a very thankless job. I know I've never played it, but, there's never no love at defense.
Yeah, exactly. they've got the talent here. They've got, Dustavason, D-Rad. I mean, we know that he can put the puck in the net. I don't know how much he's been playing 15 this year, but he only played two games last week since they picked him up. And, it seems like they've got the guys here, but they're just not producing.
Yeah.
I did talk to Iceman a little bit, and a lot of their games have been one goal game losses, pretty tight games with a lot of teams. But it's just maybe they need to start beating them on the scoreboard, and it just doesn't seem like they're pulling it off. Like some fat geezer, I mean, this guy should be putting out more than 11 points in five games, in my opinion. Is it a mistake, Jim, from Piles? Yeah, they just
got some fat geezer. I think Jim's been playing some defense. Mm. I know they've talked about him taking some of the D games away from Taco this week. Yeah, like Jim, three of his last five games are defense. He only played two at winger this last week.
And the big news on the team is Bassani, 097, finally has gotten picked up on a team. He's sitting on the undress bench, but he's on a team. This guy's pretty active. I mean, he's been really wanting to play. Iceman, in my opinion, maybe give this guy a shot. Maybe this guy can put pucks in the net. Who knows? I've never seen this guy play. Last year he played in Toronto and he pretty much sat on the undress bench too. I know there was issues between him and Fountain. So maybe this guy's got what it takes. Maybe it's just the kick they need. And really it's a shame that they're playing you two games this week. It's Taco Sunday, in my opinion. I mean, as cheesy as you are, you can still put the puck in the net. And it's a loss for them to play you two games a week and not keep you in more games than forward. So basically, I think we can all come to a consensus that the Winnipeg Jets have got to put more pucks in the net, right?
Yeah, well, according to Iceman in the chat box, Taco is only available for four specific games. Is that true, Taco?
I'm available Sunday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Well,
Monday is iffy because I'm not unsure if
games
I'm...
on Thursday, so you're only available Sunday,
yeah.
Wednesday. It's only four games.
Yeah, Sunday, Wednesday.
Yeah, so
that's four
maybe
games
there's
there.
Availability things going on there or something like that. So
That's true. Chicago Blackhawks, head up by Kessel and Rap God. Pretty much sitting where I expect them to sit. They're sitting there just right in the middle of the pack. Again, another offensive, they got a strong offensive core. But again, where is Rap God, basically? He's pretty much non-existent. I know he's got 14 points in nine games, but that is not Rap God hockey, in my opinion. Miller, if you guys all know him as Miller, and he's just not putting the puck in the net. And again, there's Reznov, 6 games. Thought he could only play 2 games a week, but he's averaging 3 games a week, so interesting. And like I said, they're pretty solid D. Again, I think it's another situation that they're the guys that should be performing better. I mean, Kessel can't carry the team, you know? 9 games, 27 points. He can't do it alone.
Why is Foxbrook and, well, I guess Kessel's putting up, why is Foxbrook playing 9 games a week when you got Doust and freaking Damons only playing 4 games in 2 weeks when they have more points? Well, not
well, I wonder if Damon's an issue of availability. I don't know about Doust. I don't see any more. Doust actually got a warning for a no-game show last week. He didn't show up for a game, so that would have given him another game last week. So I'm just wondering.
Well, they just got Doust. You also got to remember. Remember, he was on Winnipeg's bench for the first week, I think, if I remember correctly. Yeah, I think they got him off claims or something like that. But Damon Paul's, I think his availability hasn't been that great. I think he's only been playing like 2 a week for availability.
Yeah, and this guy was actually somebody who actually appealed to get back in the league because last year he had basically been non-existent, so hopefully he can pull that up. Is he under a different name? He's under Bobby Orr, isn't he?
Yeah.
Bobby Orr, yeah. X4. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, Damon Paul's junior, last season was basically removed based on the fact that he wasn't showing up. He appealed it this year, came back, and you know what I mean? 4 games since he's come back, and come on, dude, you gotta play.
Yeah, well, maybe
play.
They're content with having Henderson and Foxbrook hold down the center, you know, the center positions for each line.
Well, that's a contentious issue, really, because who do you play at center? Like Kessel likes to play with both of these players, and you know, I don't know. I mean, to be honest with you, in my opinion, Foxbrook is the better center person. She's better on the faceoff draw, and she plays more positionally. So I don't know. I know they've been playing a lot of Kessel, Henderson, and Foxbrook this week, but it's just like it seems like Rap God is just just everywhere. Just they don't really know what to do with him. And
I think Rap God has a lot of shots, but from what I've seen in games, they're not necessarily quality shots. There's a lot of times they'll have like a 2-on-1, 3-on-1, and he's taking short side shots instead of getting it to somebody who's open on the the far side and. You know what I mean? And that can kill an offensive rush. So,
he wants to be a Hones rule.
Yeah. He hears us talk about how he's been struggling offensively. And unfortunately, Stout's not going to like me talking about it, but last year Stout had Willie kind of chirping him about points. And Stout really started trying to do too much on his own. And that can kind of kill you a bit. He struggled towards the end last season. And I feel like Miller's got that going on right now. There's a lot of shots that I see him taking. I'm just like, why would you even shoot that? Like, there's times he's trying to shoot short side from beyond the faceoff circle sometimes. It's mind baffling. I think that, and I think it almost looks like they're trying to go for a rebound game a lot. And, that can kill a lot of things as well.
Too much tryharding.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. So, really, in the biggest story, another big story on this team is scores per door. He only played 6 games so far this season. Again, another one that was removed last season and appealed the decision to come back. Caster will know, you know Brodeur quite well from him playing for you last season. And, I don't know if it's a case of the – right now, Rebels hot. Let's just put it that way.
All
you know, Chicago.
In that.
I'm looking at this, talk about Kessel. Kessel usually is, you know, that's the guy you want to put good people with. He's a top player. But the star of this team, in my opinion, is Rebel. No doubt about it.
Oh, yeah, Rebel's definitely fucking held his own in that.
He's one of the reasons why they're not sitting in last place right now. Because, he's got a 5-2 record, 3 overtime losses. Every game that we play against the Chicago Blackhawks, that guy steals the show. And, obviously, Brodeur's not going to get the ice time if that guy's playing well.
Oh, yeah.
I guess you could talk about your whole mystery if we are going to ever see Reznov play a forward game or Brodeur even play outside the net. And so far, it hasn't happened.
Yeah, and they're averaging – well, Brodeur's averaging his 2 games a week, but Reznov, of course, I think last week he played his the max games or the week before. So
all that
shady,
defense,
shady,
he
shady.
Signed up for forward. He signed
shady,
up for forward,
shady,
and
shady.
They said, oh, yeah, he wants to play forward and he doesn't want to play defense. That's a lie.
Exactly.
Hashtag never listen to the freaking Rap God any again.
Yeah. New Jersey Devils. Now, we have big change in New Jersey this week. New Jersey Devil, the previous owner of the New Jersey Devils stepped down as ownership. Of course, had to be removed from the team based on our rule. And it was sad to see him go. I know the camel broke the camel's back. I think there was a lot of issues going on with him and over in that team. he was just tired of having to deal with shit. And I think something set him off, and he said, "You know what? I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore."
I'm not sure if it was shit. I'm pretty sure it was just Taco Sunday.
I think it was a combination of inside and outside of the league. Yeah, Jersey's a great guy. I think he was just busy outside of league, and a lot of things inside of league started really, you know how like some things when you have multiple things combined, other things just really get even blown up bigger. And I think he was just frustrated inside of league, outside of league with business and stuff like that. I think it wasn't enough. And I hate to see him go. I will put my, word in for him to get owner anywhere else, anytime he wants. Stand-up guy, great guy, knows his shit, very well-read, very well-spoken, communicates with his team, and loves his teams. So I wish him the best and hope he comes back, when he can actually do it. And, I think for the team, the fact that he wasn't able to put all his time in it, giving it to somebody who can dedicate all the time to it is probably what it needs. Whether I agree with everything Stout does or anything like that, he's going to do his damn best, and hopefully we can, as a team, rally and help him out and bring this team forward. Last week was kind of a struggle, but, hopefully everything gets behind us and we can keep going.
Yeah, and that'll be just it. And he's wished everybody the best of luck. There's no hard feelings on his end. And they said I'm as commissioner. I'm sad to see him go. He's one of my favorite owners. Stepped up. I put a good word in for him last season to come back this season. And it's too bad. But you think it is what it is. And now we have a new ownership, Eichel 9. We all know him as the Stout Man. And the Stout Man. He's been busy. He has been very busy. And hopefully he'll be able to get this team to where it should be, because let's be honest, this team isn't a horrible team. They've got lots of talent on this team, if I'm not mistaken. And they can pull it off. They can definitely be a top contending team. I think it's an issue of group dynamics. And I think once they get that straightened away, this team's going to be one to look out for. Look at that, Caster and Pollock, 25 points.
Looks.
Right behind Eichel.
21
points.
That's your old man eyes.
I don't know. Maybe if Caster and Pollock is your top three scorer, you might need to do some readjustment. I don't know.
No offense. Taco Sunday only played defense.
Yeah, and he was a plus one. He's already.
Actually, I played one game of forward there, and I had like 3 assists.
What about Fox? I look at Fox. He's really not putting out the numbers. What's going on
here?
Here
is his issue. He is having, with the server change, they're doing something with the East Coast servers or something like that.
Yep.
He's having severe lag problems is what it is. He's been having these lag problems for the past 3 weeks. I've been talking to guy, but we were on the same team in LG, and it was happening over there too. He's just having some bad lag issues.
That's
I think
bad.
Everybody
he's
in general,
lately,
any
points.
Games I've been in, everyone's been complaining. Bolts was complaining about it all last week as well.
As far as defense goes, I think these guys are pretty solid. I hear good things about Rabbit Wolverine.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear good things about Bolts, of course. But like I said, hopefully Fox can get this leg issue figured out. Of course, you got Frazier back there as well. Pretty solid D-man. So I think it's just a matter of, if you're relying on Eichel 9 to be your top scorer, then you've got issues. So get her done. So what is their first line over there, Caster?
It's hard to say because everything keeps mixing up. I know me and Lethal have been playing pretty well together, and I think he's been matching us kind of with Bolts. Bolts actually had a really good week this week. Compared to the first week was kind of quiet. This week, I think he had 8 goals and 3 assists, I think. And there was a couple games where he got 3 or so goals. So it's good to see him liven up a little bit. But I think that's at least one of the lines. I don't know necessarily. Stout, I think, put himself with Fox and probably IP, one-man GDP or whatever his name is. So I don't know what he would consider the first line or the second line, but yeah, I mean, the top three scorers play together maybe once or twice a week. So
yeah. King Direwolf seems to be holding his own back there, and also big news there, he's been named Eichel's GM, and King Direwolf, he's gone 5-2-1. He's sitting with a 74 save percentage and 3.44. Not great numbers there, but at least he's pulling out the wins. And who has been playing goalie besides him? Because obviously we
played Jersey,
that's right. And he was struggling in nets too, was he not?
Oh, he was struggling severely, and like I said, I think that's part of, you know what I mean? Like, I think a lot of things piled up to why he left, and I think that might have been another thing. I know he was very frustrated with the game and didn't know what his identity here was going to be and stuff. So, like I said, you know what I mean? Nothing against him, great guy and everything. I just think I think he needed to take a step back, and he decided to do that.
Well, moving up to the Nashville Predators, in my opinion, probably the best team in the week besides the Montreal Canadiens, because they had but they pretty much clawed their way out of the bottom. They worked their way up, and they're starting to be a reckoning force. I think they had one loss last week, if I'm not correct. Tretiak, 40 points. What the fuck?
That's because he's tied with Hones and Undershot kid, and they're tearing it up. You know what I mean? Look at all those assists. A lot of those aren't Hones. Hones is
29 assists for Tretiak, 22 goals for Hones Rule. Yeah.
Believe me.
Yeah. But here's a surprising fact. Hones Rule's got 34 points, but he's a minus two. That's kind of shocking, actually. You know, he's a second best scorer on the team. And he's only sitting at a minus
two.
Well,
they punch in a lot on the power play. I know when we played last week, we lost 8-4. We end up with a zero plus minus. They scored that many power play goals. So I think a lot of that has to do with that.
A1 Freak, he's been here. You probably want him more than 5 games in 3 weeks, but he's showing up. When he shows up, he puts pucks in the net. These guys have a huge roster. Taco's looking there like, was Dayman picked up? Was it last week he was picked up?
Yeah.
Only 3 games. That's interesting.
That's because he signed up for left D, and they decided to try to schedule a 5 at right D. He put his foot down, like the man I know he is, and
yep.
Said, hey, I want to fucking play left D. You put me on left D, or I'm not playing. And they
you do what
gave
he
him
said.
2 games last week because of it. Yep. They gave him 2 games.
You do what he says.
Yeah. I'll tell you one thing. This week they got him at left D.
Yeah, be left Dayman and Hope's downfall right there. There's a pairing that will be very difficult to play against, in my opinion. Then you can throw Omni and Fillins together to make up the second D pair. Goaltending, Marchosaurus still rocking it. He's 5-2. Looks like everybody's had a shot at net there. They can't get it. Well, it looks like Marchosaurus seems to be their number one goalie right now. He's looking good. He's got a 2.9 goals against average, and he's helping that team along. But really,
I think he only played three last week.
He could put a pile on a net with his offensive force and still come out with a win.
You could put me in net and I'd freaking get all them shutouts like I did last season.
He's only had 83 shots on him. With the defensive core like these guys, now that they're going to be playing Dayman where he wants to play, it's going to be scary to play these guys. And we played him tonight in our first game, and it's going to be a battle. And I have no surprise that this team will probably be in number one or two in the bye round. They will get that bye that first round because they're definitely going to be a team to reckon with. And at first we thought, what the fuck are they doing? And now things are starting to shape up. Now things are starting to form up, and you look at that roster and you go, there's a lot of guys on that team that could put pucks in the net. That's kind of scary. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, no, I agree. I said in my article last week they would wake up this week, and sure enough, they answered. And I tried to rile up Hones, and he delivered this week.
Yes, we did rile him up, and he did deliver this week. However, some pressure has come off on Hones, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on. A little bit of a pressure. He's now lost his title of the Million Dollar Man. We'll talk a little bit later on that one. Boston Bruins. Lucic, basically, Montreal and Boston have been switching positions for the last 3 weeks or last 2 weeks. And big news over in Boston, Lucic is going to have to serve a suspension.
Oh, baby.
So, I haven't got the chap. He's been pretty good. I don't know if you've been spammed in your Facebook with Lucic about this suspension. Did he know it was coming?
He knew it was coming. I notified him his mistake before I even posted the suspension. I said, dude, you can't do that. Because we had to make him retake the trade so that we could get it processed and everything. So he already knew what was going on. So it's weird with him. He can act upset and not be upset and vice versa. So I think he knows he made a mistake, and he now knows he can't do that. So,
yeah, if people wonder what happened, one of the rules we put in place this year is once you submit a trade, you can't back out of it. It's a binding verbal agreement. You can't back out of it, even if it's not approved by the BOD, unless the other owner can agree to it, but you just can't pull out of a trade. And that's what happened. And I think he's going to be, what, 3 games max this week or 2 games max?
Yep, 3 games max.
3 games max. So not that it's a big deal. He only has 10 points in the season. That's not huge. But it will hurt them defensively. He's one of their bigger top D-men, so it will hurt them in that. So Miz the Reaper on IR. Miz the Reaper's got a new job, and which doesn't allow him to play for the week. And I guess he's going to be reevaluating his status after this week. He's in training for a new job. Smitty, of course, doing what he does in net, 8-4, is to be expected. Save percentage is decent. He's got a decent goals against average, but this team definitely is. It's just coasting on. It's just sailing on. It's in drive, driving 90 miles an hour, and just doing what it needs to do. There's no overtaking, no undertaking. They're just cruising along. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I think they'll be even better this week. Now they get a full week out of number 9. They just claimed I the Breather off of Chicago's bench.
Yeah, he's a good player.
He plays with M.N. Holmes, so I'm sure he'll be playing with him now.
They're, no.
I don't know if they're clubmates or teammates somewhere else, but they definitely know each other pretty thoroughly.
So they they got Breather for free. Holmes and Breather are about to start tearing it up.
So they're not just going to keep trucking along, but they may be one of the top upper tier teams, if you know what I mean. And
I thought Taco was being sarcastic, but he's actually not being sarcastic.
He's good.
He's agreeing.
I'm not being sarcastic at all. Yeah. Them boys are about to tear it up every game they play together.
Yep. So if you thought Holmes is only 17 points, that's about to raise dramatically between those guys.
So, also, another big news in the league, we still got my team, the Montreal Canadiens. They're still only defeated once in regulation time. I would say last week was probably the worst week they've had out of the season. But it wasn't a bad week, but it was just they're not their best week. But I know that we still got Jay Habby. He's still sitting there with 31 points. Big news over in Montreal, Steve Ott will also suffer suspension this week. I think he's maxed 2 games this week, so that's going to hurt the team because they've got good consistency in their lines. They've got 2 lines. Their one line is J-Habs, Seabass, and Dinkus. They play together, and you've got Stebot. I think it's Affirm Data and Dominides. They play together, and those are the pretty consistent lines. Another thing, I think I know I want to say this. I know it's weird to say this, but Kurdog and his record, he still had a fairly good record last week. He still only got 1 loss in regulation as a goaltender, and will they miss him this week? That's the question. Will Kurdog be missed this week? We'll find out, because let's just put it this way. Kurdog was probably playing the most games. LeSaint QC, which is also known as Death Studio, he went 3-0 or 2-0. I think he won all 3 of his games last week, or 2-0 last week.
I think, didn't he go 2-1 or something like that?
3-0 and 2.
Yeah, he's got no losses right now, but he played a really good week last week, and he just keeps getting better and better and better. But the only problem with that is his availability.
Yeah.
So that'll be an issue.
He's an LG guy. You gotta go on that LG schedule.
So that'll be an issue. So the question is, dominant force, which was pull up off the bench. And he's been having
They're pretty impressed with Dominic Forrest, so
they are, but he's been having connection issues.
No, yeah, well, they got a pretty solid team. I'd be very surprised if he faces too many shots, but the goalies are only facing like 10 shots a game, anyways. He's just got to stop at least three quarters of that.
that's another thing too. Is every week Kurdog's save percentage is going down, down, down.
Yep.
So when he comes back, is he really going to be playing as that first 2-week or 3-week player like he was?
Yep.
Hard to say. It's hard to say, but all I know is this team, you know, you look at the roster, you think, well, they don't really, it doesn't look like a Nashville roster, and you wonder how are they pulling out the wins, and they're looking like the Montreal Canadiens of 1993. Remember when they won the Stanley Cup and had all those overtime wins?
I played a couple games against you guys, and I felt like EA was on your side.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you got a lot of chemistry. It's chemistry as well. You got one whole line that's all brothers.
It is chemistry.
You're right. A lot of 80% of it is chemistry. You're right. But EA was giving them a lot of bounces.
What you're saying is EA wasn't allowing you to be cheesy, is what you meant.
No, EA wasn't allowing us to pass the puck.
I don't know, but I've seen these guys move the puck pretty good. This Pens 8718, I played a few games with him. If they could get more games out of him. He plays, I think, with the brothers. He kind of subs in every once in a while with the Steve Ottline. He is a very good player, but again, I think it comes down to other league availability. If you could see, if this guy played as many games as Dinkus did, then he could be a pretty dangerous fella. And you can't knock the decor. I mean, we're playing pretty solid.
That's what I'm saying. Your decor is pretty good. I think anyone in that...
Except for that Lekar guy.
What are you talking about?
Well, I
am the lowest
scoring
player
general,
on the team.
They're only allowing like 10 shots, 10 or 11 shots a game on goalies. So
lowest scoring, lowest plus
right.
minus.
The centers are, you know what I mean? Dinkus, he's suffering offensively. I know he's way better than that. But
yeah, but you know what? As much as he's suffering offensively, defensively he's not.
That's I know. That's what I was going to say. Defensively, he's a major defensive asset at center.
Yep.
So he's definitely helping.
And to be honest with you, I'm okay with him putting up 18 points as a defenseman. But when I play, when I play with him, he's where I want to be to get the fucking puck out of the zone.
Oh yeah, he's somebody.
And I'll tell you,
center,
this team
like
has fantastic breakout. Their breakouts are that's one of their biggest is breaking out of that zone.
I got some breaking news. Freaking Williams X12X locked down by Taco Sunday. Locked down when I played defense against them. He's talking shit like we're on drugs. Willie, get locked down, boy.
Yeah, Willie, you know what I'm going to say. Willie, shut up. So there you have it. There's your roundup for the week. When we come back, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about what you guys love to talk about. Please talk about me on the radio show. You know how many messages I get a week. Please, can you talk about me on the radio show? Even though you're the last person, the lowest scoring person in the fucking league, you still want me to talk about you? Come on. We'll
be
back. I just want to
be heard. That's all.
Well, that's some technical difficulties. I'm getting a storm where I'm at, so my connection can be a little shoddy. But we're going to talk about those who are the best in the league this week. Me and my co-hosts will discuss with you exactly what we think our best and worst in the week was. So we'll talk about that. We'll start off with you, Taco. Who was your best this week? Who impressed you this week? As we know, as you all know, looking at the leaderboard, we've got Tretiak leading the lead in scoring. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm saying those two words at the same time. Give us what you think, Taco.
Fuck.
Best and worst. Who impressed and who didn't?
You know what, I'm going to have to give it to freaking Holmes. Holmes really stepped up this week.
Did
Red DX was there. He's fucking just giving Holmes the dime. But how much of it was really Trediak giving him the perfect dime? It's probably Holmes Rule just fucking sniping goalies left and right. I'm going to go ahead and give it to Holmes Rule. Holmes Rule was the hot forward of the week.
You're saying he was a hot player this week?
Yeah. He had 21 points this week in 4 games.
Okay, Kat, well, who tell us who didn't impress you this week.
Who didn't? Okay, damn. Now you got me all twisted. Let's see. You know what? I got to give it to freaking Jackson Pride. Where has he been?
You give him every week. That's not fair. You shit on that guy
fair.
Every week.
That's fair. I mean,
he's not that great of a player, though.
He's paid two, and I have more points than him at defense than he has at forward.
But he's not that good of a player. He's not expected to be at the top.
But he's paid $2.5 million. I'm $250K. He's expected to play as a $2.5 million player.
Oh, there you have it. Let's talk about defensemen. Who was impressing you the most for defensemen this week, considering that you were considered amongst those, and you can't say you.
Why not?
Because.
Because why?
Because you don't really play defense.
All right, well, my number one defenseman, just like last week, going to animal him up again. You can't get past this boy. This boy a brick wall.
Well, holy shit, yeah, he's got 13 points in 4 games last week. He went a +8. He's not much of a hitter, but yeah, that's pretty impressive. Who didn't impress you? Don't say me. Don't say me.
No, my unimpressed is going to Picard Play. Picard Play is my unimpressed player of the week. I don't even want to say why. it was Cone City out there.
Cones. Who did you say it was?
Picard Play.
Picard Play. Well, he didn't show up. He was half there and back and.
The game he played was Cone City.
Yeah, well, okay. Cone City. There you go. Picard, Cone City Play. There you go, Picard. Goaltenders. Let's have it.
Shit. I'm going to have to get... it's Kurdog. Kurdog, you can't say it isn't Kurdog. I mean, who is it supposed to be?
4-1 last week he went. 70% goal percentage.
I guess
and 3.5 goals against average.
Yeah, I guess you could get him to Death Studio. He had an 82% save percentage, or Smitty, even with the 3 losses. But I don't know, man. Kurdog just keeps the team in it.
Well, yeah, what about Marsoris there? He went 3-0 last week.
On Nashville.
Yeah, that's true. Oh,
yeah,
we talked
on Nashville.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right, now give us your worst.
I'm going to have to give it to Jersey Devil. Even though he's not in the league, his stats aren't showing up. It was Jersey Devil.
Okay. Castor, over to you. Forward, most impressed, least impressed this week?
I got to give Owens his due. I did kind of call him out last week.
Wow.
He did produce 21 points. Willie, another one. 7 goals, 6 assists, and 4 games.
Why is Boston. He got locked down by me.
Why is
Bolt?
Nobody giving
I have to give an honorary
to his due?
Yeah, Trediak is. Yeah, I think we know.
Well,
what
how?
About.
How much is Trediak actually doing? If he's playing with Holmes Rule, all he does
Owens,
is pass.
Owens is shooting like friggin' 12 shots a game. He's carrying that team right now.
Yeah,
on offense,
I mean,
in that line.
What the picture is with me and Trediak seeing what Trediak probably passes it to him in his own zone. He passes it to him, and Holmes just skates through the whole team and goes and scores.
Yeah.
Okay, worst. Who didn't impress you, Caster?
Fox is going to hate me saying this, but Fox, yeah, 4 games, 2 goals, 2 assists. He's been struggling.
Not to be
Dinkus,
confused with Foxbrook. Fox from New Jersey.
Yeah, Fox 4. That's why I said Fox 4-1-3. Dinkus is another one's kind of been struggling.
That's a couple weeks in a row you've given Dinkus that.
Yeah,
that
5 games. Yeah, 2 goals, 7 assists, -5. You know what I mean? That's that big -5 is never, especially with a team that's on top, it's never a good thing.
Defenseman.
Animal Mup again, with also Diomedes playing very well. 5 assists, +5 in 4 games. Black helping carry that Chicago defense a little bit. +6 in 4 games, 2-2. That's what I, my hot ones.
Who's not impressing you on D?
Hey, fuck.
Don't fucking say my name.
Angie Raffey. 3 games -10, 2 points. Zebra King, -9 in 2 games. Chris Creamer, -4 in 4 games.
Ooh.
Lakara 22, -5 in 4 games.
Shut up.
But he's at least got some points. He's at least got Chris Creamer was only 0-1. I mean, he had one assist. Zebra King, one assist.
Fucking stepping it up this week, you motherfuckers. Hey, I got number one stars over an LG twice last week. So meh.
LG is not this league.
Yeah, I know. So let's goaltenders.
Goaltenders, Smitty is probably the number one I would give. 4-3 had almost an 80 save percentage, 2.43 I think goals against. That's pretty good numbers for a team that is not necessarily putting the offense up there per se, but he's keeping them in games to where they only have to score 3 or 4 goals. That's always a good thing. Some of these other goalies, not a lot of people played a lot of games. You know, Iceman was obviously about average. Kerdog, that 3.5 goals against average, 4-1-1, but that's 70 save percentage.
That means you're there, but you're just you're getting the win. You're not really. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
So, I mean, as far as I mean, looking at who's in the Vezina running, we're looking at Disco and Smitty, in my opinion. And you can't count Kerdog. He would be on that nomination ballot just on his record alone. But, Disco, if he plays like he did the first 2 weeks or the first week, we got trouble. Winnipeg's going to be rocking it, man, because, that's a pretty impressive save percentage. And if he keeps playing like that. But he needs to still put pucks in the net to get wins. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you're about to see 3 goals at least from me tonight. That -10 player, Angie Raffey, is about to get coned.
And we've got Tradiac 20, as you of course know. He's got 11 goals, 29 assists, 40 points on the season. He's one of our top offense players. And, of course, Holmes Rule, he's there as well. He's got 22 goals, 12 assists, 34 points. Defensive-wise, as we named it, Animal Mop, also known as Omni, he's rocking it. He's got a plus 12. He's got 7 hits. Doesn't hit a lot, probably why he scores so many points. He probably doesn't take a lot of penalties. He's got 3 goals, 17 assists for 20 points in the season. He's probably the number one scoring defenseman at this point. And good run for the Norris. Again, I think he's a previous Norris winner, if I'm not mistaken. No, he's a Rookie of the Year winner, actually, last season. SWAT goalie. He's doing well as well. He's got a plus minus of 10. He's got 14 hits. He's got a goal and 6 assists for 7 points on the season. And, of course, we talked about it tonight. Disco and Smitty both leading the pack. They're on trail for the Vezina Trophy. And even though Disco didn't play last week, he's still holding those numbers pretty tight. And, of course, to be expected, Dinkins might not be putting pucks in the net, but he is definitely rocking the hits. He's leading the league in 76 hits. He's definitely – I think he had a couple injuries on you in a game there last week.
Oh, my God.
Taco.
I think that man hurt me 3 times in one game.
I'm pretty sure that every game we play, he specifically makes sure he's in that game and that you're playing against your line. So he loves to hit Taco Sunday.
I'm going to make sure my dude is 6'9" next game.
Exactly. And in Skull Degree over in Boston, he's also been a big physical presence. He's got 62 hits this far, taking 7 penalties. There you have it. There's your best of the best. We're about halfway from the show, and ladies and gentlemen, we have new breaking news this week, and I wanted to talk about it this week.
Shit!
We have a new $1 million man.
Everybody's got a price. Everybody's gonna pay. $1 million man.
That's right, new $1 million man. Holmes Rule, the pressure's off Holmes Rule now, so we'll see how he does this week. You know, we kind of razzed him a little bit this last week. But ladies and gentlemen, last night, or Friday night in free agency, we had a new $1 million man. Our new highest paid player is the Bloop. He went for a whopping $8.5 million. I know he's 3 weeks late into the season, but as you know, the $1 million man will be watching you and finding, are you earning your paycheck? So he's got a couple weeks behind, we'll look at goal, points per game, and that'll help give us an idea if he's actually living up to. If he's getting paid $8.5 million, He should be getting at least 10 points per game, right, boys?
I think we know that's not true.
Big
it's all
debate
in the
chat box.
People don't understand.
Well, big debate about
demand.
This in the chat box. We talked about this, and the big debate was, should he have been paid that much? And, of course, Holmes Rule had an issue with it because he wants to be the million-dollar man. He ain't anymore. But what's your thought? Overpaid or underpaid, boys?
Overpaid.
Obviously, you've known me for a while, Lagara. Nobody's worth more than $6 million.
No.
I've believed that since I've gotten in the leagues, and I still believe it. But you've got supply and demand. He was the best player on the board. If you really want him, I guess you got. They had the salary cap. They have what, like $19 million to spend.
I think they still have like $10 million to spend too.
Yeah, they've got a lot. So. If you got the money at this stage, like how many dependable, talented people are going to sign up from here on out that you need to hold onto that cap, really, at the end of the day? Guys who aren't signing up to play somewhere that are just going to fuck off if they don't go there, all that kind of, you know, so.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are putting a little too much emphasis on how much he's getting paid and not looking at the point. He's a really good player, a dependable guy. Could be a leader on that team, even
yeah,
above the
management. Yeah, you can build
management.
A team around that guy.
Oh, yeah. And he can bring in some people. You know what I mean? So you got to look past that. And, okay, they spent $8.5 million. Is he going to all of a sudden turn the world around and score? He gets 6 points a game? No, he's not. But, like I said, he's a start to rebuilding that team. It's like that first-round draft pick that a struggling team is trying to build a team around. You know, you got to spend the money if that's what you got to spend. As long as, like I said, it's not like in the beginning where someone went and spent $9 million as their first player added to that roster. They already had a base. Now they just got to get a strong line to lead that team. So, really, at the end of the day, why hold on to money if you've got three quarters of your salary cap still open? Why not spend a little bit of it, right?
I agree, and you talk about him actually showing up for games and being, three seasons we've played thus far, the Ploop has won two out of the three. Most generally, he's won the Lady Bing Trophy, or was it Lady Bing? Let's see here, I'm looking back here. Yeah, Lady Bing Memorial, and sportsmanship, gentlemanly conduct, high standard of playing ability. So he not only shows up, and when he shows up, he actually shows up. So that's two out of the three seasons we played this year. And last season, he actually took his trophy cases full. He picked up a couple of awards last season. He picked up the Frank J. Selfie Trophy. So not only that is he's not a puck hog. He actually can play defense. He's definitely a centerman that you want to have on your team because he's a first defensive center first. Offensive center was second, and that's a perfect defenseman in my centerman in my opinion, and definitely going to be a big addition to the team. $8.5 million, yeah, I think anybody's overpaid if they paid $8.5 million. I agree with you, Caster, in a league setting, but it's a matter of circumstances and where we are now. You've got the money, why not? You know, it's okay to splurge. It's like going to the Walmart and, you know, that impulse item was there. Oh, look, I need like a pack of 70 pieces of gum or something like that for $20. Same thing, right?
And everybody was arguing. They were saying, oh, well, 8.5, if he struggles, how are you going to move him? Ploop is somebody who is not going to get moved unless he begs to get out of there.
Exactly.
So that is not even an issue. You know what I mean? He'll be in Toronto unless they feel that they don't need or want him anymore. He will be in Toronto for the season.
Exactly.
Now it's just a matter of building around
him. $6.7 million.
Yeah. They got plenty of money.
Why not? If you've got the money, why not spend it? Right. You know.
Yep.
Man,
it's enough to get Taco
Sunday,
the Village Bicycle.
And Taco Sunday, with that amount of money, could buy 17 million Taco Sundays. Oh, by the way, did you know that Cur Dog is actually named his goalpost Taco and Sunday? Did I tell you that?
No, you did not.
Yeah, he's now changed his goalpost. So every game before the game, he calls them Taco and Sunday. So just to let you know that, that's what carries him on. So, I think that it was a great – if you got the money, why not? Why not? Pourquoi non pas, as the French would say. Why not? So, and there's also rumors out there that his old buddy and teammate player, C. Flamesman, might be donning the sign-up list. And I also see another friend who was a pretty solid defenseman, Purple Pickles, on that sign-up list. So yep. Purple Pickle will definitely I'll be interested to see if he gets picked up in free agency tomorrow night. I know there's not a lot of teams with some room, but perhaps he may get picked up, and we'll see what happens there. Do you agree? You agree with what we're saying here, Taco?
With who?
Well, you mean, even though he's overpaid, you agree that if you have the money, why not spend it?
Oh, no. In their case, it's an extremely reliable player. I mean, obviously, I guess we don't really know the full subject if he's going to be able to play depending on his schedule. But he's a very solid player, and he's known that he's going to show up. Everybody knows he's going to show up. He's reliable. It's just a matter of fact is how well is his availability going to be. But yep. I completely agree with it. They had $19 million to spend. Might as well go out and spend some of it.
I guarantee that you'll get 5 games a week out of Ploop.
Even with his schedule, I thought he couldn't play because of his schedule.
Well, schedule's changed a little bit now. That's why he signed up. But
oh, okay.
I know every season he's played 5 games a week if he needed it.
Yeah. Oh no. I can definitely see 5 games a week then if he can actually put the availability out there and play it.
I'll give you an example. Last season, before he came on to BOD, he was going to be our first inaugural league official, and it was so bad that I was tying up his schedule for a league official that Curdog came to me and said, "What's going on here? I need him 5 games a week." So he'll play it if it's there. So if anybody owner doesn't play him at least 4 games a week, they need a kick in the nuts, in my opinion. At least four games at the latest. Yeah. So. Well, that takes us to that aspect of the show. Got about 20 minutes left of game time tonight. Before we move into talking about a little bit, looking into this week's games, and we always like to preview the Sunday night games to see what's going on, we'll talk a little bit about this week's Freakout of the Week.
Shit.
So, it's Freakout of the Week time. This is where we nominate and elect the award for Freak Out of the Week, whether it be chat box or whatnot. And I think I got a couple of people that are. Before we go on this, I have to make a formal and a public apology. Actually, I'll do it later. Let's talk about Freak Out of the Week, and I'll do it later. Tune in. Kara will be making a formal public apology. Caster, Freak Out of the Week, you spent a lot of the time in the chat box. Who's acting like a douche this week?
Probably me.
There was a lot. The day Jersey kind of decided to leave, there was a lot of shit going on that day, but I think that was a multiple of a lot of people.
Rumor has it, and I know for a fact that Eichel actually got banned from the chat box at least 3 times in the 3-hour period.
Yep, he definitely took a seat for a while, which was good because he came back with a fresh brain on his shoulders.
I truly think that was planned. This is my conspiracy theory. This is my conspiracy theory. Mm-hmm. My conspiracy theory is Eichel actually planned that freak out to make it look like he really didn't want ownership of the team. That's it. So he made a protest that Jersey quit. Yada, 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 yada. But later on the night, he bugged the shit out of us at the party about making him owner of the team. So I think it was all a ploy to make it look like he wasn't a greedy little sneaky little bastard he is. No, I'm just kidding with you, Eichel. But yeah, he did get banned chat box, I think 3 times. Foxbrook banned him at least twice. I've banned him at least once. I don't know, Caster, you have yet to ban anybody from the chat box, by the way.
I find it kind of humorous because then I'll just edit their shit and make them look stupid anyways. But
that's kind of funny. Actually, I thought of doing that.
I know I've had Stout get chat box banned towards the beginning of the season. Yeah, I mean, some people it's just best get out of the chat box, and sometimes you've got to take it away from them. Stout's one of those guys who takes a little too much to heart when people say things. He's very passionate about how he feels and doesn't like to hear the other side of it sometimes. But I think this ownership thing will help him grow a little bit, and hopefully he can take the constructive side of it, and when, like me and other people on the team can help him grow a little bit and you know, maybe next season he can start his team right from the beginning. I know this season he wanted to do a lot of things. I think he felt handcuffed by Jersey a little bit. And like I said, anytime I bring up Jersey's name, I'm not meaning this out of slight.
You're the one usually handcuffing him.
Yeah, well, no, I think Stout was a little afraid to do certain things after that, the AT and Caster trade, that he didn't want to pull any moves. So I think now he can kind of do things how he wants to, and, you know, like, you know, without having to wait for someone else to get around and stuff like that. So I think that'll help him out a little bit and keeping him out of the chat box. So,
well, you know,
how
as
long?
Much as we shit on Stout, go ahead, Taco.
How long is Stoutman going to be an owner, though?
Up till
we taking bets?
Until
yeah.
he quit.
Yeah, we taking bets.
I think he'll stay the season.
Oh, over under 3 weeks.
He'll stay the season.
As long
well,
as
guess,
he keeps Caster on his team to help him talk him off the ledge every once in a while, he'll finish out the season.
I agree. TK says, should have fired the guy after the AT fiasco, and I completely agree. He should have been freaking fired right after that. But Jerz is such a nice guy. He kept him around, and now he owns the team, and now he's doing some crazy stuff with it.
We can't fire owners for making dumb rock like
no, that wasn't an owner. I'm talking about Jerz should have fired him on the spot.
Oh yeah, for. Well, as much as we shit on on Stoutman or Eichel, whatever you want to call him, there's one thing I have to admit. Like, man lives and breathes online Sixers hockey. He loves to manage his team. It's like life hot for him. He loves it. And he's dedicated, and I honestly think he constantly thinks about how he can improve the lines. He's always making line changes and stuff. He's like that kid that just lives for hot or lives
it
for...
It just wasn't Stout changing the lines, because going back and looking at it was both of them changing the lines. So, you know
and,
what I mean?
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I noticed the chat box, everyone's taking what I said out of context. I wasn't saying Jersey
was handcuffing. That's what they do on the show.
Him. I was saying Fox, he felt handcuffed and was afraid to do anything. So, what were you going to say?
I would tend to agree that unless somebody else has got a nominee. I will say this, though. I'm glad there's one person who's not nominated on this list this week, and I'm quite... I'm quite proud of him. Lucic has cleaned up his fake chat box act. Congratulations for doing that, Luch. Good stuff. You win the award for not being a douchebag this week. So congratulations to you. You're the undouchebag of the week. But Fox, Stoutman, going to have to give the freak out of the week award to you. Unless anybody else has got a nominee.
I nominate myself.
You are an automatic winner of that award every week. You just
can we have like a Sean Avery award?
You know what?
You know, like for the biggest douchebag, and I'd win it automatically.
I'm going to actually put it on the award section for the end of the season. I'm going to call it the Taco Sunday Trophy Award.
Ooh, I like
okay?
it.
Okay,
that means
and
I'm
going to go to the player in the league who acted the most douchebaggish.
Okay, well I'm definitely winning that right now. I'm definitely leading the league.
Pretty sure you're going to be the winner every year, bud. Anyway, there's
I
your winner
so.
Of the Freak Out of the Week.
I got another thing I need to say, too, though.
What are you going to say?
I'm a fucking all-star. I just want to let you know I'm at my career number in hits already. Doubled last.
I was
going to
say, I want
We're
him
not.
Tested because his penis is too small not to be on steroids.
From now on, every time a taco says something I don't like, you're going to get it, buddy. Every time. All right?
I had 21 games played last season, right? And 3 hits. I have 4 games played and 7 hits. I'm a fucking all-star.
Oh, God. Well, that being said, let's run down the trades of the week. We talked a little bit about this last we had a lot of moves this week, actually, in the trade department. Give me your guys' feedback for that. Looks like Monday, March 9th, where were you? Tuesday, March 9th. Shorty Luce went in Devil Bowie. That was last week. Taco Sunday. He has been one of the most traded men this season. He went from Boston to New Jersey to Winnipeg. He's been how many teams has it been now? Three?
Uh,
Yeah, I think out of the whole Taco transfer, I think Boston won that in the – out of all three teams that have had Taco on there, I think Boston kind of won that. Number nine is fucking phenomenal, and I hate how we got rid of him. I'm still going to –
I don't understand.
I'm still not giving Stout any dessert after every dinner that him, Willie, and Fox sit down in. So I think out of that whole trade, I think –
yep,
I know you were quite upset with that trade, but I'm having a hard time. Like, what's with the back and forth? And I said this before you came on the show, Caster. It's almost like he's that kid of the divorced parents. He goes to New Jersey for the weekend with his dad, and then he gets the rest of the week with his mom. With his mom Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and with his dad. You know what I mean? What's that? Like, I don't understand. Like, do they just sit in? Like Taco? Like, is Taco that important that owners sit in parties and just talk about how they can trade him?
See, I don't know if Jersey's the one that want to talk, and it's no disrespect towards you, Taco. I'm confused by this whole transfer of we trade away someone to get you, and then like 2 days later we're trading you away again. But I don't know if Jersey's the one that wanted Taco back necessarily, because once Jersey left, Stout wanted Taco gone. So I don't know if it was Jersey's.
You know why he wanted me gone, right?
Well, you guys are kind of
no. I requested a trade. I told him he sent me a message. He's like, I was like, hey, I don't really want to be here with you owning the team. And he said, you know what? He was trying to be the good guy out of it. And I'm the bad guy here, because he said, you know, Taco, I really actually want you here and I need you here. And I said, you know what? That it is what it is, dude.
Yeah, well, I played with you guys today, and the whole game you had him muted, and apparently you. You guys got some history going on, but at the end of the day, as far as trades, it's probably the only trade that really confused me. I think Boston got an upgrade getting Geezer. I think Winnipeg got an upgrade getting Geezer for Jay Reaver.
Yeah.
It's not that we have a thing. It's just I don't want to hurt his feelings.
Yeah.
Are you...
He's soft like Charmin. I don't want to hurt his feelings.
That's bullshit. You don't want to hurt his feelings. You're known as Taco. Taco, I don't give a fuck what I say, when I say it, and how I say it. Now you're not just going around saying you don't want to hurt people's feelings. That's all I got to say.
Shut up, you ass clown.
It's true.
I'm going to get so many damn buzzers, I'm not even going to be able to hear myself speak.
I like cheese. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we do have, I'm assuming it's probably Stoutman on the line. Get ready for some drama. Here we go. What's up, Cupcakes?
What's good in the hood, homie?
You think he just responded to Cupcakes? Awesome. So you've been listening to what's going on?
No, I just got home. What's up?
Well, pretty much, you won the award for show Freak Out of the Week.
Oh, for the breakout after Jersey left?
No, the fact that you just went off in the chat box. And I still think it was a ploy to make everybody look like you really wanted the team and you just were making it look that way. But the other two disagree with me. But we were just discussing the relationship between you and Taco Sunday.
Listen, I heard a little bit of it before I got on.
He did. That's why he called.
I got nothing but respect for the kid. It's just... Personally, the move we made was Did you buzz me? Oh, whatever.
Yeah, I did buzz you.
We needed a LD. He didn't want to play LD anymore. I understand that. And we shipped him to a team that I guess is not playing him forward. But I feel like I got back a good defenseman in return, who's a defenseman. And I got what I needed, and hopefully he has success in Winnipeg.
That's it?
That's pretty much it. I mean, obviously, you know, there was a little bit of hatred in the beginning, but, I mean, it is what it is. If he wants to continue to talk shit, it's up to him if he wants to. But, I mean, I'm moving on. I got my team the way I want it, and I'm just moving forward and trying to see if we can move up the standings this week.
Spoken like a true communication student. Well done, sir.
Thank you very much.
Now you can put down the fucking prompt.
I got the teleprompter. Somebody's holding up a teleprompter right now for me.
I think you write your own teleprompting. You do.
Hey, man, I got two more months of school left. And
well, we know it's
a big
man.
World, so I'm trying not to hold on to grudges too much anymore, you know what I mean?
Just make sure you keep that radio show host on your resume, okay?
I will think about it.
We're going to move into a new segment that I like to call It's My House.
It's my house. You know what it is? And if you don't like it, you get the fuck out. I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. I pay the motherfucking bills in this motherfucker. And hey, kiss my ass if you don't like it.
That's right, folks. This is part of the show where I get to speak my mind and tell you what I think, and if you don't like it, get the fuck out.
Nobody wants
this
to hear
week,
what you think.
What? Everybody wants to hear what I think. They love what I think. They love my opinion. They love it, love it.
For me.
Fuck you. So here's what I think this week. I'm going to take a different way this week, and I'm actually going to not be a douchebag and call people out this week, and I'm hoping maybe one of my co-hosts will follow suit with me. I want to apologize last week to all the owners. Some of them got a little butt hurt on the show. We decided to call out their not call out, but call them dum-dums. And, I mean, you're right. Some people made some very valid points. I know, even though I'm a radio show host, and I try to separate this between the being commissioner of the league, and unfortunately, it's what people perceive. And even though I'm a radio show host now, they'd still know me as the commissioner of the league. Same with Caster being a BOD. Fuck
that,
you!
That, someone shaving?
Someone trying to buzz me. Someone trying to buzz me. I'm about to fire away
that?
My radio show.
I was
going to
say, can
now.
You get your vibrator away from the phone, please?
God damn,
please
that was loud.
A douche. I'm taking that taco. And,
hell yeah.
Hell yeah, shut up.
Tell them owners to eat a dick.
Anyway, as I'm finished, some of them were a little upset, and I think if I look back and I was in their shoes, I'd probably be a little upset as well. So I do want to apologize on behalf of the show for calling you guys dum-dums and not knowing how to read and telling you to grow up and be men and yada, yada, yada. It was very inappropriate of me to do so. I will say in future warning, though, I will bash you. I will bash you if your team sucks and you're not running your team appropriately. But as far as when it comes to trying to do league stuff, I will stay clear from that. But keep in mind that this doesn't mean the kid gloves are coming on. This just means I'll be very more careful on how I word things and how I say things. So to you, those, you know who you are. I do apologize, and I hope you can accept my apology. But from here on in, you're still going to get no kid gloves in regards to the performance of your team. So, there. That's all I have to say. Caster, do you have anything to say?
Gay as fuck.
That's a suck of dick. You and I were both... I don't want to force you.
I guess I could apologize as well.
Oh,
my
God. Y'all some pussies.
I'm sorry I pointed out the obvious. But... No, I'm just kidding.
Just sand on your vagina.
You
guys both need to drink a can of mayo.
I apologize for my wording, but the point is still there. Now, I think you guys have noticed suspensions will be going out. My patience after a couple weeks has worn off. I think by now people should be able to either have read the rule book or should be learning the process of everything. Unfortunately, TK... You know, he knows what he did. Ott's still a little confused, although he's still serving a suspension. Hopefully this can help rectify further errors, and I'll try to play nice for the most part, but we need to start turning the corner as far as following procedures, and hopefully, Lakari, you're supposed to be getting a post out there for all the BODs, right, what their roles are and stuff?
Yeah, I'm working on it.
Okay. I think once that gets out there, I think you guys will be a little more clear of where to go, because there's a lot of things that me and Foxbrook are supposed to be doing, and Miz, and everyone's going to guys like Curdog, and they're going the wrong avenues. So hopefully once we get that out there for you guys, there will be no more confusion, and hopefully we can turn the corner and start getting our teams run properly and have some good hockey.
Yeah, and It's all laid out in our bylaws. It's just I don't have each person assigned each position. It's a matter of just going to put the names in. Maybe I have to bust out my flow chart again. I made a flow chart. Or an algorithm.
For your periods? Like when your periods are going to hit during the month?
I made an algorithm. I have an algorithm somewhere. What to do next.
You and Iceman's fucking period syncing all of a sudden?
Jesus Christ. No, it's an algorithm. An algorithm that actually, it was an idea that Gaming Rando came up one time. It was, we were when I was BOD over there, we had talked about, it didn't matter how long, I think we were 4 seasons in, and people still couldn't understand what to do during a leg out. Well, what do we do? So we made an algorithm. We were going to make T-shirts with the algorithm and send each T-shirt to the owner to wear during game night so they would know, okay, if a leg out happens, I go here, and if this is what I do next. So it never flew. We were going to make T-shirts, bags, fridge magnets. We had it all set out. They were ready to roll. So anyway, don't know where I was going with that, but just responding to Luch's comment. And now, see, I come about, I make an apology, and mind you, I just want to let know everybody, Luch was one of the people that was a little butthurt. I'm making an apology. I give you an olive branch, and you say shit like that? Oh, I'll put
there
the kid
go.
Gloves. I'll burn the kid gloves if you want me to.
There
do
we
that.
Go. There we go. Drink it, the fucking Lucario.
Drop
just
the hammer,
Lucario.
You take him off your Christmas card list now.
Lucario is going off my Christmas card list. Nothing.
First of all, guys, who the fuck has that Christmas card
list? You don't have the balls,
list.
Lucario. Hey, listen, you fucker.
You're not going to get any. No,
yeah, shit.
No, nothing.
Oh, is Stout still here? Jesus Christ.
No,
the car
just drank his can of man the fuck up for the day.
I will. I will now. I was trying to give the olive branch. I was trying to say, you know, sorry, guys. We'll work together on things. But, you know, you're going to come up with comments like that. Fuck it, man. I'll tear everybody's ass. No, I won't do that. I'm just giving you a hard time. But I know. I'm pretty sure that Luch usually makes problems in chat box when he doesn't really need to. To me, it's maybe I need a Luchich award, like Troll of the Year or something like that.
He's
Troll Chatbox.
He's
Troll Chatbox.
He's one of the easiest guys you have, but he will troll you if he knows he let you bother him. Yeah, you know, but he's one of the he's one of my close friends, and I just don't take shit he says seriously unless it's
suck his dick and some more. You might be his lover.
Yeah.
Hey, he doesn't make me pull out Taco.
And Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll end it on that. And thanks for my what?
Before we all leave, are we still pooling our mayonnaise on Taco's belly button?
What?
I thought. Hey, hold up! I thought that's why we got cupcakes McSprinkles in here.
Oh
my God! I thought. Thank God this show is rated R. Have a good night. Thanks to my hosts. Stoutman, keep up the good work, buddy. Live, breathe, XHO.
Oh, yeah.
Hello out there. We're on
thanks
the
for joining
air.
Me, guys.
It's
we'll
hockey
be back.
Night tonight.
Maybe
Benson rolls, the whistle blows, and the puck goes down the ice.
Let's do it.
The goalie jumps, and
the
players casting. Bump, and the fans
hey.
All go insane. Someone roars, Bobby scores at the good old hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game. Second period, where players dash with skates aflash, the home team trails behind. But they grab the puck and go bursting up, and they're down across the line. They storm the crease like bumblebees, they travel like a burning flame. We see them slide the puck inside, it's a 1-1 hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game. Third period, last game in the playoffs, too. Oh, take me where the hockey players face off down the rink, and the Stanley Cup is all filled up for the champs who win the drink. Now the final flick of a hockey stick and a one gigantic scream. The puck is in, the home team wins the good old hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey.